traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And last night she let it slip that she ran out of toilet paper. And so she just hit me up and she said, hey. I said, hey. She said, I need to come over. I said, why? So you can fucking poop? And she said, don't be fucking rude. Like, people are just using me for my toilets now, mm-hmm, and my TP, mm-hmm, and my supplies and resources.
That's not right.
Welcome back to Channel 4 News with your lead anchor, Logan Paul. Spencer Taylor with weather.
And Mike Malak with sports. Welcome back to Impulsive Guys, the number one podcast in the world.
We tried.
And, you know, it's getting a lot easier now that coronavirus is going around. Let's be honest. It's pretty much all we're going to fucking talk about today. But I'm saying everyone's at home. Everyone's quarantined, mm-hmm, self-isolating. So they need content. They need shows to watch. And here we are, blessed to be able to try anyways to provide that. If you guys have not subscribed, please hit that subscribe button. We did pass 2 million subscribers. If I want to give us a round of applause. It's been a while. It feels good, you know? Nice. Spencer Taylor's back.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
Here, put this on. Get some on Spence, too, because we don't know where he's been.
Yeah. Ooh, wow, that's a lot.
Spencer.
Well, just because you've been gone. I don't know where the fuck you've been, dude.
Yeah, true.
You've been in Hawaii. You moved to Hawaii. You left us to rot here in Encino, California. And you're back here for a boys-only podcast.
Yeah. I missed you guys a lot, honestly.
We missed you, too, man. We missed your energy big time. How is it?
It's good. Yeah? It's good. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to dive right in. I realized why I had an emotional breakdown.
Why?
Why?
I think...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I think it was because, like, I fucking love you guys. And I think there was just distance that I felt from you off camera, like behind the scenes. Mm. Like, as a kid, I always dreamt of having that Robin Big dynamic, the fantasy factory, the house. And, mm-hmm, like, that's here. And so anytime I try to find that elsewhere, like, I don't have that.
Are you telling us, are you moving back in?
I'm moving back in, guys.
I knew he'd come back.
Here's the only problem. Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't have you back right this second just because of quarantine.
Yeah, we are in quarantine.
Oh.
You shouldn't even be here right now.
Okay. Okay.
Spencer walked in today. We made him strip down his clothes and we showered him and burned all of his old clothes.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's good to be back, dude. Honestly, I think like the creative energy that happens here in LA, you can't really find that.
It's amazing. I went to this place, the Hype House, yesterday. It's a bunch of kids, TikTokers, who are making content and blowing up. And it's just cool to be in a creative environment, bro. So I relate to that.
It's key. Time. Hawaii is amazing, though. Like, I'm going to be doing split time there. Yeah. I think I'm going to be doing the majority of time here. And Hawaii was a spot for me to unplug and actually like tap in and find myself through all this noise, which I think it's ironic now because everybody's getting shut inside and like forced to do that.
So crazy.
No matter where they're at.
I think it's ironic how social media is like now everyone's relying on it to get any source of information, entertainment.
Right.
Such a double-edged sword.
It really is.
It gives so much necessary information, so much important information, but it also just breeds the fear.
It does. It does. Yeah. But I think, you know, now the media isn't being controlled by only one source. So I think we're seeing that fear mentality, but then we're also seeing people on social media that can be the change. We can be the difference, you know, people can get that entertainment, that positivity, those messages.
Well, yeah. Everyone's message is democratized. You know, everyone has a voice. Like anyone who is specifically has maybe even contracted the coronavirus, we can hear what it's like from their point of view instead of just hearing the government talk about fatality rates and, right. and what you can and can't do. Like LA just got pretty much shut down last night. As of last night, what? No restaurants, no clubs, pretty much any public gatherings.
Yeah.
Especially if 50 people or more got shut down. Gyms. People aren't going to the gym anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. This house should be shut down, but there's always...
Kind of is. We're working on it. There was one public gathering that I noticed going pretty viral on social last night that decided that they are not going to shut down. That was Disney World.
What?
Did you see that fucking picture?
I did see that, yeah.
Thousands yeah. of people just there celebrating the Festival of Lights
wow.
amidst a blast of coronavirus.
This was Times Square. this is terrifying. Just a ghost town. This was Hollywood and Vine this morning at 9 a.m. This is where we used to live in the Vine apartment, and it's never like this.
No.
Like, if you guys saw my vlogs, this street is packed. Unfortunately, this is the Chicago O'Hare Airport. 7 hour lines of corona screenings. Apparently they're working to get more testing in the United States soon, hopefully, because 1.9 million high-speed corona tests will be available this week in the hardest hit states.
This is crazy,
man.
Yeah. I sent you a link.
This shows how fragile our systems are, you know? Like, we talk about this in movies all the time, these apocalyptic times, but we're actually seeing it in person. Like, this is a glimpse. It's just like a little
Bro, when I went to the store and the shelves were empty and people are just panicking and, like, fighting over the most trivial... toilet paper? What am I missing? What the fuck am I missing?
Well, it's trivial until you have to wipe your ass.
Times are more trouble. What about food? What about the space you could use for food in your cart than toilet paper? Toilet paper is huge. It takes up a lot of space.
Right.
Hank Green actually said this on Twitter. He's wondering if toilet paper is actually the reason it looks like it's sparse is because it is so big. It takes up so much space. It's easier for the shelves to be empty.
I was just in Whole Foods yesterday in Malibu, and there was nothing.
Nothing.
There was nothing.
At all?
I mean, there was some fruits and vegetables, but all the shelves were pretty much clear. There's like a couple bags.
It's
left.
Crazy because the order went like this. It went toilet paper, non-perishables,
yep.
and now the produce section is empty.
People are like, all right, fine, yep. I'll eat vegetables.
What do you think the last thing to go is? Like, what do you think the very last, you like paper clips? You think staples?
I bet people start eating staples for sure.
It might be the magazines in the checkout aisle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That are, by the way,
I got nothing to read.
They're gonna be outdated by like months. But you're just reading about like Prince Harry.
Yeah.
The biggest hoarding story is this hand sanitizer story. The 17,000 bottles. A Tennessee man who amassed a collection of over 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer and a variety of other sanitary supplies. Is speaking about how he hasn't been able to sell them since his products were delisted from the Amazon marketplace.
Yeah, he got blasted on social media. Yeah. It took him off of eBay and Amazon. There was a petition
for him,
I think,
to
on change.org for him to be
criminally charged.
Criminally
and
charged.
And now I believe he's ex-military. His name is Matt Colvin, and he teamed up with his brother to make some money off of these sanitary supplies, and he was selling these hand sanitizer bottles from anywhere between $9 to, I think someone actually paid $80 for a little hand sanitizer. And it really brings this question of how do people feel about other people profiting during times of
distress
and chaos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's again, back to the power of social media, like enough people spoke up where Matt was like, this probably isn't morally right.
Mm-hmm.
Also, where the big difference lies is that, because I know what you're getting at, like, this isn't the first time.
Yeah, but that's what I've just been mentioning over the past couple of days to people. Like, if people out there watching it are so distraught over these hand sanitizers, thinking that this is the first time that someone in the United States has profited off of war or, you know,
famine,
plague
poverty,
or famine, yeah. whatever. Most of the companies that you know and love today were probably built off the backs of some sort of distress in this country. That is when people get entrepreneurial and take advantage, unfortunately. But this time the internet warriors just weren't fucking having it.
It's because it's a singular person. There's a name and there's a face, and you can attack him and ruin his fucking life. Large conglomerates, big companies, where it's hard to take it down a massive company who's profiting off of the calamity of someone's life.
Right.
I mean, these grocery stores are making, they're probably
they
banging.
Have, oh they have God, to be.
They're chilling.
For as much as the grocery stores are gaining, I'm so curious about the companies who are literally losing everything.
Airlines,
gyms who are shut down, the restaurants.
Local mom and pop businesses.
Oh my God.
Small businesses are, I mean, like all those people still have to pay rent.
Yeah.
You know, that's who I feel for.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It's just another reaction or action reaction situation. For every loser, there's a winner, you know, and for every person that's being hit hard by this virus, someone else is making money. And obviously we're looking at the stock market today, down another 2,200 points. The stock market is absolutely crashing through the floor. And I looked at Ray Dalio, obviously the owner, founder of the largest hedge fund in the entire world, Blackwater. He, is that what it's called? Bridgewater. He's saying that he actually was not able to capitalize on coronavirus as well as he did the financial crisis of 2008, which is what kind of made him who he is today. They made the wrong calls and weren't actually able to make money off it. But there's a lot of other hedge funds out there right now who bet hard against stocks and against airlines and against people and are making fucking killings.
Well, do you
right
think
now.
That's why that this is being escalated so much? Like, obviously, you know, we want to care for like parents, grandparents, and people who are actually susceptible. But do you think there's ulterior motives here that people are cashing out on?
Like, are you talking about some sort of like government?
Like government and like the people that you're talking about. Like, do you think they're putting pressure to shut things down aggressively? Like, do you think this is blown out of proportion at all?
So like fear mongering and some sort. I don't think so. I think the only way to stop this thing, they call it flattening the curve. The curve is is new infections, and they want new infections to flatten out. And the only way to stop new infections from happening is getting people to stop going out. People watching this show right now are probably hunkered down at home. They're not going out. They're not taking part in public gatherings. Hopefully they're not going to fucking Disney World. Because that's the only way. Basically what they're trying to do is prolong the amount of time it takes for test kits and vaccines to come. That's what flattening the curve means. And so they want cases to drop to a point low enough where they can just buy time. And so the government, the US Fed, has actually not really done too much. It's actually being done on a state by state and county by county basis. When the Fed gets involved, that's when we might potentially start seeing National Guard in the streets. That means we're in a major Italy.
Well, that's what I've heard. Yeah. One of my friends has, I think her mom is in the military, and she said that that could potentially happen. What's happening in Italy.
I actually have a segment right now.
Uh-oh.
Two of Italy's biggest influencers are down to be on the line and talk about the quarantine that they are currently in.
Really?
Yeah. Fidesz and Luis Sal. I'm going to try to FaceTime these guys right now. My brothers.
Here we are.
How are you guys?
Good. Ultra. Can you hear us well?
Yeah. Yeah. So far, so good. Yeah. So introduce yourselves. We got Luis and Fidesz. Two of
you. Yeah, hi, my wife.
Ciao, guys.
Hi. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Ciao. Austin Logan met in Ibiza.
We did meet in Ibiza. I'm so glad I remembered that particular meeting because you guys were great. But I don't remember the rest of the trip.
I remember your leg.
Oh, it was right when I pulled my hamstring, so I was completely fucked. So hey, how is it over there, guys? Is it scary?
Well, I guess people are a little afraid because we have a reason to be afraid. Today we are like 22,000 contaged, you know, it's like we're the second, you know, there's China and then there's Italy. And it's crazy. I don't even know how it got here so quick. And we got how many deaths? 2,000 deaths, which is a good number. Damn. You know,
Hey,
probably a good number. Yeah, but it's a huge number.
They had a one-day spike in deaths at the highest level the other day. Almost 400 people died in one day. That was 2 days ago. I don't know exactly what happened yesterday, but Italy is kind of leading.
So I'm not an expert, but I guess this is caused because of the amount of old people we have. So Italy, the average age is 45 years old, which is pretty old, you know. And so most of the people dying are over 80 years old. And that's the problem with the coronavirus, is that there's too many in the hospitals. It's like they have, like, I don't know how many people that have to be treated with the thing that helps you breathe.
Yeah, yeah, the respirator.
Yeah, and that's we have, I don't know, like 5,000 or 10,000 of them.
Wow.
Being made right now because there's not enough space. And FedEx with his wife launched a crowdfunding. I don't know if you heard about it.
Yeah.
And they raised some money to build more space for the hospitals.
Yeah, we reached giusto. Guys, yeah. Sorry for my shitty English, but I'm not
a good
speaker for in your language. So basically we raised 4 million and enough.
You raised $4.5 million?
Yeah, it's the hugest campaign for GoFundMe in Europe.
Whoa. Wow.
In the history of GoFundMe.
I told him to just run away with the money.
Just kidding. You'll be canceled.
So basically to improve the intensive, how do you call it?
Care.
Yeah, intensive care.
Yeah.
The machine.
Actually, what I would like to know is what's going on over there, guys.
So it looks like we are at the preliminary stages, like a couple days where you guys were before you went into the massive quarantine.
Being there.
Yeah, you've been there, done that. Fidesz, I want to know what it's like having a family. Like, how are you getting supplies and food? Anytime you need to leave the house, can you?
Mi ha chiesto come procaccio il cibo.
Sì.
Basically, the life is quite normal. We bring the food with Amazon, everything online. So basically, I come si dice, non vado fuori da.
He doesn't get out of his home. Actually, our lifestyle is not the average lifestyle because FedEx is famous. So usually he doesn't go shopping. You know.
Yeah. Are you guys doing the thing where you're singing across each other's balconies?
Yeah, I show you.
Oh, this is sick. Okay.
So basically, every day at 6 p.m., we had a DJ set with a little bit concert.
Nice. So, dude, that is awesome.
And we have all the neighborhood over the balcony, and we play the national anthem.
Wow.
We play Italian songs, and it's pretty amazing. We rediscover the
patriotism.
Yeah, patriotism.
That's so.
Yeah,
cool.
We are enjoying our country more when we're not able to walk around it.
That's so cool, man. Yeah. It sounds like in a weird way the virus has sort of brought unity to Italy, and I just feel like that wouldn't happen here in the United States. We'd all just start shitting on each other and fighting over toilet paper.
People are buying guns.
Well, we've seen it before, you know, after 9/11. It can definitely unite us.
It'll get better. Yeah.
I have a theory about the toilet paper situation. We in Italy have the bidet, which is something that we use to clean our butt after we take a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why we don't fight over toilet paper.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We fight over pasta. Yeah. But the situation...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
What's going on over there is what was going on in Italy before we got locked down, you know?
Yeah.
We were stocking up on food. And then they closed everything down except for supermarkets. So there's no need to stock up on food because of course they're going to be open. And pharmacies, everything, the necessary stuff is going to be available.
Yep.
We don't have masks anymore. That's the
No, but the huge problem in the hospital, that it's they are exploding right now in Italy. Mostly for the north.
Yeah.
So tutte le terapie intensive, come si chiamano?
Intensive care units.
All the intensive care units are full. So basically in Bergamo, in Cremona, all the city near Milan, the hospitals are exploding. There's no more space for people.
Got it. Are you taking any extra precautions for your kid?
I mean, we are all self-quarantined, basically. So in Italy, in the north of Italy, like this is the beginning of our fourth week of lockdown.
Oh my God.
But the first 2 weeks, there were things that we could do. A lot of people could still go to work. The stores were still open. So you could go out of your house, but you had to avoid like big gatherings. The pubs were closed. Some of the restaurants were closed. So it's kind of, the first 2 weeks are kind of like U.S. is right now, I think.
What is the Italian government doing for compensating people who cannot go to work anymore? Anything?
So basically they quit some tax. But the problem is if you are an entrepreneur,
un cosa, un imprenditore.
Entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a huge problem for our ecosystem. Economico è veramente un problema.
Economic system.
It's a big problem for all of us, basically. I mean, like, it's the whole economy, because there are people that, I mean, they cannot go to work, that they're still paid, but obviously it's a problem for the companies, and then there are a lot of, people that are just like work on their own, and I mean they have nobody that pays them during this time, so it's tough for everybody.
I think it's the same for all the country when that start. Basically, they want to underrate the virus and
because they
don't want to stop the economy.
Yeah,
but I think for the US it's important to don't underrate it, that.
Yeah, for sure.
Even because of your healthcare.
Two or three days ago, stories with from Kendall Jenner and Hailey Bieber. They put some statistics, analytics about the flu and the COVID.
Yeah.
And this is pretty stupid for me.
Yeah.
Because basically, the problem is not the mortality rate. The problem is this is a new virus. We don't have cure, come si dice. Cure.
Enough.
We don't have it cured or bad.
Yep.
So the problem is if all the people and a lot of people became sick, we don't have enough space to put in the intensive care of the people. It's the same problem in US. So basically, if you have like 100 millions of followers, you have to shut up if you are not an expert.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I love you, Ken, really, if you're watching
really,
this.
It's pretty stupid to do that. You have Italy for an example, and it's pretty near to US. So
and we're even similar in the lifestyle everything.
Yeah, don't do the same. Come si dice errore?
Mistake.
Don't do the same mistake.
That's we'll try our best not to. I'm sort of, well, not anymore, but I definitely used to be the king of making mistakes, but we'll do our best not to. But hey, thank you guys. Thank you guys for giving us some insight on what's going on over there. Stay healthy, stay safe, and
thank you.
I'll talk to both of you guys soon.
Good luck.
Thank you guys. Thanks, ciao. Guys. Bye guys. Stay healthy.
Bye.
Peace. Gotta love the Italians,
Oh my God.
He said they're fighting over pasta.
Pasta.
And they're honestly the Italians and Europeans in general that have bidets, they're so much more woke than us. The fact that we're still wiping our asses with toilet paper, are you kidding me?
Bro,
are you actually shitting me?
Hold on a second. Hold on. I have something to say. What do you have to say? No, see, I'm also confused. I've always been, if I'm being honest, too afraid to use a bidet. Something about water steaming up into my butthole is...
They're phenomenal. Yeah. They're the best thing. And any man who, and no offense, but any man who has not embraced the bidet yet, there's a layer that, you know, just with your sexuality, your own sexuality, you have to go deeper.
Dude, it's not even that. It's just, it might be that.
We should talk about that toilet paper later.
No, we're going to do it right now. Okay. Perfect. There's a show, we're going to take a little break from Corona here for a second. Yeah. There's a show on Netflix just came out called 100 Humans. I've said this on the show before. I'm fascinated by people. I love this podcast because I get to find out why people tick, why they do what they do, why they act certain ways, how successful people think. Just like picking apart the human psyche and figuring out humans. Mm. This show does that. We watch one episode, and on this episode, they ask people very intimate question with toilet paper and going to the bathroom. How do you wipe your butt? How do you take how do you take the roll off the wall? How many sheets do you use? Mm. And the answers were fascinating. You would be so surprised with how different everyone does
it's
it. Yo, it will make you cringe. Your closest friends, how they wipe their butt and how much toilet paper they use.
Wow,
dude, this experiment is incredible.
Should we do it?
Show them yours.
All right.
First of all,
I'll go first.
Please tell me you're not the one who like wraps their hand.
He
in
does.
It.
Hold on a second.
It's horrifying.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Show them.
Here's what I do. All right.
Watch
all right.
this.
Here's
shit.
What I do. First off, I only take three sheets.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
It's light.
That's good.
It's light.
I go like this. I go three fingers.
Whoa.
I go one. Two, three. I sometimes do four fingers. Sorry.
Look at that.
I do four fingers, and then I go
so
like this.
Proper.
Here's what I said to him. I go. Do you then go? Out. I go. Do you then go to UPS and ship it somewhere? Like, what is that package?
Wait. I don't.
You have just created.
Okay. So my rebuttal is, I don't know what the. I don't understand what is wrong with this. This is fucking perfect. You're so nimble, you're so dexterous, you can reach in every crevice and chasm in your butthole, and one swipe into the trash can.
Trash.
Whoa. Sorry. That was a mistake. Sorry, into the toilet. Sorry.
Okay, I got worried there.
That was bad.
So, can I tell you what my one issue with it, though? And by the way, I'm not saying mine's perfect, but I feel like you, when you have this set up like this, Danny, does it look like he's at risk?
Yes.
Dude, you're digging in.
Bro, my poop
you're
isn't
way up
my
there.
Poop yeah. isn't all the way up my butt crack.
How hairy is your ass?
Where did your poop
Not
come
at all.
From?
That's why.
This is
That's
also
why.
A factor. Oh. This is also a factor because if you have a very hairy ass, you're dealing with all sorts of jungle vines.
No butt
that
hair.
Are dirty.
Not a single butt hair. Not one. Yeah.
Ready for
Not
this?
Not one.
So he can get in there.
Ready for this?
No!
That's a lot.
What the fuck? It's different every time.
That's a lot.
I'll just kind of. I'm not systematic about
no,
it.
No, but how do you wipe? But how do you wipe?
All right. Well, so usually it's a nice little. It's a flatter surface in this. I threw it first, and then it's a good.
Yes.
It's a good wipe.
Yeah, this is
it's
a
good. It's because yeah.
Boys,
it's,
everything's boys, covered. You boys, got no risk zones.
This is a guess for me.
You no.
This is the sir. I hope it doesn't go through. I hope everything is getting got. What the F?
I'm the perfect blend between both
the two.
Of you.
Listen.
Yeah, I take the three, usually four, and I do the same thing as Mike. I just kind of
ball
it up.
That is insane to me.
And then I get behind, so then there's no... They're like, I'm not one... In, one
Dude, there's no strategy. There's
no strategy.
There's no strategy. Dude, I'm
just
here
get in there
offering
just,
a methodical fold. That is... I did that when I was seven. And then guess what? My parents, they came into the bathroom and here I was. I was 7 years old, 7 year old Logan. I was like, no. And then my dad goes, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
That's when you should have known not to listen because GP said it.
Yeah.
No, he's exactly. like, when you wipe your ass, you package it up like you're going to send that shit to UPS, brother.
Bro, and then when has UPS shit? Let you down? Their packaging is phenomenal.
That is true.
Everything also, we should use that because I think people
No, we will.
At home
we will.
Are
I'll blow
really
my I'll blow my
this.
Nose in it right after. I
know people are cringing over all three of us.
Yeah, I'm sure. But listen, the one thing I will say is I have no problem with any of those and mine might not be perfect. And by the way, definitely use a little bit too much because I'm cautious to not get it on my hand. So, you know, strike me down.
I respect that.
But the one thing I will say is after all these conversations, the one person we ran into that I will not accept, that I will not sit idly by and watch happen is his ex-best friend, George Janko. Watch this shit.
This was
literally.
This was fascinating to me too. No, he.
Show me the exact.
So George. Here, hold this.
Yep.
George rolled. He did something like this. He did like a two-hand like
fold.
Yeah, and then he did this, and then he had a flat surface, completely flat. This is where it gets tricky. He wipes, then he folds it over itself.
You're supposed to do that.
And wipes
it again.
Oh yeah, you're supposed to.
And then he said sometimes he'll get a third wipe.
with the same sheet.
That is horrifying.
That's so disturbing.
That is horrifying. You know what? Supposed to? That was outhouse tactics from when you shit in a hole in your backyard and there was a little moon that you looked through on the door. And
why does every outhouse have that moon?
I don't know.
It's actually becoming a thing. In Hawaii, it was fairly popular in the off-grid areas to have a compost toilet.
Wait.
So
that's,
you actually
that's cool.
Shit? Yeah, that's which cool. was dope. Yeah, which was me. That's why when I was in Hawaii, I was like, this makes sense. We've been lied to. If we are flushing paper down the toilet, that we are wiping our ass. Like, are we cavemen? Are we still wiping our
cavemen
asses with our hands today?
Precisely.
We've been lied to.
We need bidets and composting.
The bigger question. What does
that mean? Composting is when you shit into a receptacle, you blend it with some wood chips, you wait a little bit, and then you toss it into your garden, and it goes into your food, and you eat it later.
We can barely get every house in the United States toilet paper, let alone wood chips.
Mm-hmm.
Or coffee grounds. The biggest question, though, from the show was not how you wipe, for me. The biggest question was how the roll is set up on the wall.
Yeah.
How do you put the roll on the wall? And everyone's shaking their head because everyone knows the answer, but I'll be honest with you. If you are an under, I do not look at you as a human being. I do not look at you as a, you are an imposter. You have somehow come to this planet. You probably created the coronavirus. If you are an under the toilet, this is just horrible. You should be criminally charged and thrown into some sort of prison.
Yeah.
Anytime I go to someone's house and it's like this, I no longer want to be friends with that person anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the how toilet paper gets set up.
Even after you wipe and you throw in the toilet paper or in the toilet and you're all done. Some people said they would stand up when they wiped, which I found interesting as well.
Yeah.
Some people would stand up when they wipe. Some people go
back to front.
On this show. Me? Yeah. I'm sitting.
Oh, no. Now women.
So
are
do you see the way you're looking at me? I can't believe you stand up to wipe your butt.
I do too.
I can't believe
that. What do you mean you stand up? You stand up?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Every conversation looks like this. Everyone's like, you do what? And see, then you respect your friends to get on your side and they don't. Everyone's divided. Huh?
You just jump up a little bit.
No, I scoot to the front of the toilet.
And you're like, and he reaches under.
Yeah, and I lean forward.
Okay.
I stand front to back like a normal human. Not
you
only
like
that, for men, if you're standing up and you're still like leaking pee and it comes and it's just like dribbling out, it's getting on your shorts, it's getting on the floor, whatever. Dribbling pee.
Yeah. That part I don't get. Do you
pee when you poop?
Yeah, but I usually stop peeing about a minute before I get off the toilet. Like I'm not just like, oh, I'm done peeing.
You may not know this, but penises tend to dribble after.
You shake them.
They do.
You know I love matter. To. You know how much I love to shake.
I know you don't love to shake.
Yeah. When I was in China, they actually don't have toilets, so
dude,
they just have
that
holes
was crazy.
In the ground. Yeah,
that was crazy.
And they don't put locks on the door either.
Nope.
So I just would walk in, and there's a guy smoking a cig, just squatting down.
Crazy.
I'm sorry.
Crazy.
You should have put a lock on these doors.
I had to go poop so bad. I was in China at the Great Wall and I went to the public area, the restroom, and there was a hole in the ground. I have bad knees where I can't squat for more than like 5 seconds at a time. So I couldn't go poop.
Yeah.
If you have bad knees, do they expect you to squat over a toilet? Like do a wall sit perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you also have to bring your own toilet paper.
Wait,
was that a thing too?
What?
Yeah. When I was in Beijing, like you had to buy toilet paper to go in.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was weird.
This is a shitty combo.
I mean, we're blessed to be in America.
Happy
really
St. Patrick's Day to everyone watching the show right now. It's St. Patrick's Day as they watch it.
Well, speaking of green,
I heard they shut the pubs down in Ireland.
No pubs in Ireland. Can you imagine
sacrilegious.
Not being able to go to the fucking pub in Ireland? That's how you
sacrilegious.
Know.
Religious.
Dude,
the Irish?
Yeah.
I just feel bad for them.
I mean, they had that potato famine too back in the 1800s.
Way back in the day.
It's a lot to fucking deal with. Dude,
Conor McGregor, he's Irish. And he just, he lost his aunt to coronavirus.
Really?
Did y'all know this?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sucks, bro. Sucks.
And now we've got news today that Idris Elba has it. Tom Hanks obviously reported last week. There's a good chance that someone here, I had the cough. To tell everyone, I took antibiotics. It was an upper respiratory infection, as I said. Doctor said, you've had it for too long, blah, blah, so on and so forth. Took 5 days. Cough's gone, as you can tell by watching the show. But now he's...
I'm concerned. I am. I'm getting tested.
I mean, show him your pants right now, even.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
I mean...
he just doesn't have any pants.
He doesn't have pants on. And
that's awful.
They've evaporated through the virus.
That's one of the symptoms now, huh?
Do you guys ever wonder when you watch a show what is happening under this deck? Like, he has no pants on right now. There's no fucking pants on.
Wow. That's
great. This is the comfort of having a podcast in your home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I was thinking about last night before I went to bed, amongst many other things?
Porn?
Well, I don't really think about porn as much anymore now that our next guest, actually, who's coming on right after this one, is my girlfriend.
And is the number one porn star in the world.
Is the number one porn star.
So there's no need to think about that.
Dude, I was thinking about last night how far-reaching this virus is.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, as I was going to bed, every single government in the world was in some sort of action room. The White House, the chiefs of staff, the military. I was thinking about the doctors, the scientists that are looking for a cure. Every analyst for every hedge fund, every analyst for treasury bonds, for the stock market. How do we stop this crash? This virus is touching every single sector of the global landscape right now.
It is the epitome of virality. Like, it's where the word viral quite literally stems from. I've just never seen it hit this hard in this capacity.
Crazy.
Yep. It's fascinating how many people are activating because of this.
Can I say something I might get killed for?
Sure.
All right. So I think that this is a perfect sign that we need to really question, why are we in major cities? Why are we all crowding together and giving our power up to other companies?
I'll tell you why.
Just
like the first thing you said on the show is that you like that, you crave a creative environment. Cities like attracts like. Mm-hmm. Success breeds success. So if you can get everyone who is in a company, for example, at their HQ and you don't have to work remotely, I would assume your success rate and the trajectory for your goals would be much quicker, faster, and more fulfilling in the way that you want it to.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You're 100% right. But I think what's happening right now is we're selling out to that comfort and just like the ease of having all of these things readily available to us in a city. And the reason I'm saying this is because in Hawaii, you go out of your house, you pick an avocado that typically would cost $5 at a market. It's huge. You have macadamia nuts. You have sprouts that you grow. You have a garden. Like, you have everything you need to live.
But how many people can
well,
do
I was
that?
Just gonna, I know, but I was just going to say, I hate to
a very small
shit on your guys' picnic here, but the reason most people live in cities is because of its price point. They are distraught and have nowhere else to go. So, correct. Like, cities are not, it's not the luxuries of us saying, oh, that city looks creative for us. It's low income housing.
Mm-hmm.
It is access to clean food and water at an affordable rate that a family of 7 that is living off of a single mother household can afford.
Completely agree.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, like, cities are born out of necessity, not of luxury.
Correct. Mm. But I think this is a lie that we've been sold, that we've just bought into because we were born into it. I think that there are ways, and I know because I can't talk about it right now, but I'm working on a web series that's going to show these things. There's ways to generate power. There's ways to generate water completely off grid and not rely on any company.
That's how my ranch is.
Yeah.
When we got into like the first round of serious quarantine talks here, like, and stocked up on all our shit, we're stocked for probably about a month or two of food and supplies and everything. We talked about going to the ranch because we get our water from a well.
Right.
We get our power from solar.
Right.
It's completely, completely off grid.
You could live there for the rest of your life.
I can. Not everyone can.
Correct. But what I'm saying is I think that this narrative is changing where people have to live in cities. And I think we're starting to revalue.
How hard is it to upend your whole life, dude? Like a family is not going to.
Of course.
Just because of I get. Right now, it's a scare. If this got to a point where...
A boil.
It will get to that point. It will get to that point.
I hope it doesn't.
It will. It is, by the way. We already know. And that's something worth talking about. The the fears that were expressed by our Italian friends, that is going to happen here. We are going to have ICU units that are overrun. We are going to have tents that are built outside of hospitals that are already being built right now. This is going to happen.
And we're
going to
have military. This is the thing, is when somebody told me, they're like, hey, martial law, the police are going to come over, military is going to come over and start to take over control of these cities. I'm like, okay, you have gone too deep down the psychedelic conspiracy rabbit hole. And now they're starting to say we might have martial law and like military patrolling the streets. Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck? This is actually happening.
The crazy thing that people aren't thinking about too is everyone says, oh, well, I'm of a certain age, so I don't have to worry about coronavirus. And so I'm safe. When the ICU units fill up and you get in a car accident, wow, that's an
I don't know what
fucking,
it is, and I don't like it.
That's not good.
My legs are translucent.
They're not opaque, that's for sure.
Bro, it's been raining in LA. I can't get my tan on. Not to mention, I don't feel good. Like, honestly, I don't, like, distance yourselves from me.
But
a girl just texted me. Yeah. She's been trying to, bro, this is fucked. She's been texting me. It's telling me she needs to come over. She needs to come over. I want to see you. And last night she let it slip that she ran out of toilet paper. And so she just hit me up and she said, hey. I said, hey. She said, I need to come over. I said, why? So you can fucking poop? And she said, don't be fucking rude. Like, people are just using me for my toilets now, mm-hmm, and my TP, mm-hmm, and my supplies and resources.
That's not right.
So
that
Trump
is not right.
And Bountiful, bro. All my friends that I've never heard from in years are all coming in through the grapevine.
Well, you get the best toilet paper.
Yeah, you do
have to. Hey, Danny, it's sick, by the way. What is that, triple ply?
I think it's three. Is that three? It's got the imprinted sunflowers on it that add, so it's it makes better contact with
your ass. I made a TikTok about this. People are going to be bartering with toilet paper squares.
I got the good shit.
No, this is why I'm telling you guys right now, after we hop off this podcast, I've got a plan to make a bidet company, okay? And we're going to start wiping our asses with water. And we're going to make a lot of money doing it.
Still, after that, is there like a towel standing by to dry your butt? What do
You air dry it?
Yeah, you can make one of the bidets that sprays it with water, and then you press another button and sprays it with some air.
Let's call it hydro paper.
No, well, there's no paper involved. It's just air.
Hydrair.
Hydrair.
Well, my friend has a company, actually, Foam Co., where it actually...
I'd screw it, dude. I said, okay, fine, come poop. But I better get a hand
also,
job.
Yeah, I was going to say, you also know she's going to give you a blowy, too. You fucking know that shit, which is weird to me.
I won't let her because of the risk of getting her infected.
Ooh,
can you wear
a noble man?
We have those 95 masks with the thing. Can you, if you get a head with one of those crazy, that's dope. That's dope, dude. Like, honestly, like I would have someone take a pic of it and just send it to you for like keepsake. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got head during COVID-19 with a full biohazard
dude,
suit
I'm
on.
I'm always so nervous to take pictures and videos of any sort of sexual act. Just in case, dude, if something gets hacked or leaked, like, who knows?
No, it's probably best. I mean, it's not if, it's when.
It's when, dude. Yeah. Imagine the one picture that gets leaked of me is me in a COVID mask.
That's the thing, though.
Just like this in the wall getting a blowjob.
You should plant some Easter eggs in your phone. You should.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Shit like that. And also, like, I think those rules are mostly in effect for people who have small dicks, dude. Like, if you have a small dick, you shouldn't be taking any fucking pictures.
Well, that's another reason I shouldn't.
Oh, yeah, because you got the micropenis.
That micropenis. That's true. Yeah, maybe steer clear of that.
I've been thinking about starting to get going on some OnlyFans shit.
What did you just say?
Dude, I said I've been.
I'll have to unfollow you. If I start seeing your dick on my feed, I got.
I said I've
you.
Been going to the groceries and buying only cans and shit. What the fuck are you guys talking about?
I'm gonna touch on this, dude.
Yeah.
So I write down notes on my phone all the time, a lot, and I write down a lot for this series about our life. Like, we want to make the next version of Entourage about our life in about a decade. So I'm writing down all the funny stuff that's happening now. The fact that Mike's dating the number one porn star in the world when he came from quite literally death times 10 is a miracle. It's it's crazy. And the more and more their relationship blossoms and develops, I'm starting to notice Lana may be suckering you into doing some promiscuous adult film-like activities.
She's got, I mean... I've already, I don't even know how to say
You've already
this.
What, Mike?
You've already filmed something.
She just, I don't even know how to say this on the show. She's asked me to like dump a load for only, like.
You've already.
Danny, headphones.
They're in, and I
Danny's running the board. She hears everything.
Nah.
Has your ejaculate been on her OnlyFans?
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, it has.
No. Well, I mean, I don't know why I'm disappointed. Bro, I don't watch that, so I'm good.
You're
I'm
not
chilling.
Subscribed to her OnlyFans?
No.
Dude, what the fuck, man? She's got a new Lambo. She's got to pay for the gas in that fucking thing.
Do it.
That's fucked up. But I will say this. The other day, Mike said Lana asked him. Can I say this?
Yeah, of course.
I think Lana asked Mike if she could.
Nah, not that. We got to cut that one. I thought you meant about my butt. Like about putting things in my butt. Nah, that you just bleep his mouth and his and bleep the sound in his mouth. And then we'll just. No, just stop. Because otherwise we're going to have to cut the whole segment. Yeah, dude, it's been an exercise in
ejaculating.
It's just been an exercise in like boundaries, dude. You know what I'm saying?
What kind of boundaries? There's butt stuff happening now?
No, but she has asked, and obviously I'm not down for it, but
she's obsessed, bro.
Why are you not down for it?
It's just not for me. You know what I'm saying? I like that it's for some people, but you know, like when I was like drinking and stuff, like I feel like if she had tried to like snoot a pooter near my tooter, I would have just been like, well, giddy up, cowboy. Yep, like,
here we go.
Like maybe like shoot your shot. Mm-hmm. But now like it's like I'm sober and she's like, I want to go near your butthole. And I'm like, don't you fucking dare, dude. You know?
I don't know. I think you need to embrace it.
You think so? Yeah. We've talked about it a lot.
Have you? No. But I'm
so gung ho.
Because I'm open to it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think a lot of guys.
I think
most
this
guys,
next chapter, I think like, yeah. It's,
I'm not because of that traumatic experience I had with the doctor.
I've heard that a guy's G-spot is in their butthole.
There's only one way to find out, Spence.
Exactly. Let's do it. Here we go. Get the toilet paper.
Like this.
There it is.
So sorry, Danny, and for everyone watching our shows under the age of
12.
So we're on the show.
Yeah, here what else? Here we are. What else is going on? How do you recover from such a blunt traumatic?
Huh? Nah, I have a couple other things. Maybe just rants or things to talk about. I asked Mike this question. Where is the finish line in life? I think I asked George this question.
Death.
What?
Death.
Yeah, I mean death technically. But
when you do a marathon or you win a fight, which I wouldn't know about, or anything where you win, right, and you cross that finish line, part of the fun is being able to reap the benefits of the win, the reward, and the success. And so I'd hope it's not death. I hope there's a point where in my life where I am satisfied, done, complacent with the things that I've done, and I can just sit back, relax, and chill. Because I noticed, I was talking with George, like, who just got a new house. He's already looking for new houses. And me too. Like, this is an amazing house. I fucking love this house. And I probably have another 2 years here before I start losing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool because it is my drive and it keeps me constantly hungry. Mm-hmm. But at what point is this shit gonna stop? Is my mind gonna stop fighting itself to do better?
I personally, I think the finish line is the continuous onward and upward journey. I think it's the journey.
That seems impossible, Spencer.
I mean,
finish line's usually a mark,
that like at 60 years old, but even like we had Dan Pena on the podcast, who's telling us his testosterone is like triple the amount of a normal man. He's fucking 12 times a day.
So first of all, it's definitely different for everybody. The finish line mm-hmm. is definitely different for everybody. Right. And I think like for people, I'll speak for myself. I like to think I'm in a creative space. I think it's the completion of some sort of, for me, it might be the completion of some sort of master project. The book has been something that is I've been working on for over five years now. And just knowing that I've been putting the finishing touches on it has been a massive piece of closure for me. Mm-hmm. For other people, it might be seeing your kid successfully graduate college. You know what I'm saying? I think it's very different for everybody. And you know, for you, it might be impressing some sort of spiritualization onto the masses or changing the education system. For you, it might be something related to kids. You've talked a lot about wanting to raise kids and raise, you know, a son, maybe chopping his first piece of wood or spitting his first loogie or something like that, you know, and
that's I've finished.
Mike boils me down to the most like lumberjack type dude he can find.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a great question. It's a great question.
Well, I mean, death is kind of the, like Andre said, that might be the answer. Because, I mean, you want to, in my eyes, you want to die consciously in a way where you're not like losing your mind before you die. Because like once you die, you transition into like infinite life. I don't think it's a finish line in the sense of that's when things are done.
Maybe that
that's when you leave this body and it's actually probably lit and you're just living life.
Yeah, maybe that's the place where you reap the benefits of your life that you just lived.
I don't know, though. I haven't died, you know? Not yet.
That makes sense, yeah.
Maybe I have.
What is it again? Speaking of, you said something about spoons, yeah?
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Magic Spoons.
What?
Remembering breakfast cereal? When I was growing up, breakfast cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But as an adult, you realize that all your favorites are full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. And now breakfast is boring. This episode is sponsored by Magic Spoon, a new cereal company that's discovered a way to recreate your favorite childhood cereals with zero sugar, 12 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. I got some right here. Offer 4 flavors based on the all-time classics, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. They spent over a year working with the best food scientists and chefs in the world to recreate the taste and texture of classic sugary cereal, but it tastes so incredible that you'd never guess it was healthy. Go to magicspoon.com/Logan to grab a variety pack and try it today. Use the promo code Logan at checkout to get free shipping. They're so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Magic Spoon. And also, you don't have to go to the store and try to fight people for it. Get it online, bro. This is some net shit. World Wide Web.
It's incredible. It's good stuff.
Technology.
I love fucking cereal. Dude.
Like having sex with.
You like, I mean, that's a perfect one to have. There's a hole in it.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
Mm. Hey. Do you think in a way that this whole like coronavirus, which has pushed people to stay at home, will allow people to like reconnect with their like loved ones or friends or family members? Like,
100%.
We can't go to a restaurant. We can't go to the mall. Do we go outside and play with the Frisbee and like have a convo? I think how amazing would it be? And it's almost self-sabotage to say it, but what if we had some sort of social media quarantine during it too, and they shut the fucking channels down, dude, for 2 weeks, and all we had was each other, and we had to play Frisbee, talk, like all that
that
stuff,
would be
bro.
Fucking awesome.
I agree.
That's the move.
We could self-quarantine ourselves from social media for two. Sorry, fans. I know that you guys would be pissed as fuck it about me even saying that, but can you imagine
we can't, dude. Like we are the people. People turn to us.
Facts, facts.
I actually feel like a semi-burdened to create content. My lawyers text me, they're like, yo, you should go to Daily. And I'm like, Daily, I can barely like shove 4 minutes into it, 3 vlogs a week.
No, there's a huge responsibility that you guys have. I think that's like a big reason why I came back today, was to like talk about this. Like, you know, I love what you guys are doing with entertainment and bringing light to people's days. But I think in times like this, when shit is kind of hitting the fan, who are people turning to? Like, they're turning to you guys. They're turning to us.
Dude, I got texts from some serious, serious people in my phone. Mm-hmm. Like, very respectable, mature people who are like, hey, now is the time that people are watching you. Mm-hmm. And I was, dude, I've never gotten, like, sun in that way before where people are like, you can't stop. Like, I felt, sort of sick this morning. My head hurts a little bit now, but, like, we can't. And it's cool. It's a blessing. It's always been my goal to be able to distract people from whatever shit is going on in their lives. But I'm a little hesitant sometimes in the way we're approaching this corona thing, because in real life, for sure, dude, this shit is serious. We're taking it very serious. We're taking the necessary precautions. But in the vlogs, we are approaching it in a bit of a lighthearted way. And given my past, I'm a little hesitant that could backfire.
We were. I think in the beginning we were. The content we shot over the past couple of days has been filming us seriously telling our non-essential employees to not come to work.
But I noticed, like me anyways, I still am, and I think this is just like the fucking way I deal with serious shit and trauma, is I just fall back into comedy. Event, like I'll take the steps. I will do everything necessary to keep this shit serious. But I don't know, dude. I find so much comfort in not taking life as seriously as I maybe probably
Thank
should.
You.
I
Thank think
that's
you,
a, I think that's a huge yeah. gift. You yeah. know, I think like when you turn on the news or you look at the news, it's all negative. So if that's what people want more of, and they're gonna criticize you for just making some people laugh in these times, as long as you're still using your platform to make an impact, I think it's amazing.
Yeah, well, and we'll see. We'll see where it goes. If this is so preemptive, but if any shit like pops off about me being, you know, being insensitive, whatever the narrative is, like, eventually I'm going to come to a point where I'm going to double down and be like, this don't tell me how to handle my life and the way I deal yeah. with chaos.
Dude, in the same, all we have is a present moment, and anybody who wants to spend time criticizing somebody else, they're the biggest hypocrite in the world, because they have that same conscious energy that they put towards criticizing to go make some sort of difference.
I mean, tell us if we're wrong. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, I think, and also, I don't see you being subject to the same kind of criticism that you once were.
Bro, I just had a kid text me today.
What'd he say?
He said, video idea. We get the coronavirus. It'll be on trending for sure.
Who is?
I said, no, sir, don't do that. Insensitive. You'll get blasted.
You breaking up the monotony of negative news cycles is... It's incredible.
Well, here's a question that I'll have for you. Maybe both you guys can answer this. What's the purpose of Team Maverick? Like, what's...
Oh, God dang.
Because when you're looking at when the attention and all the focus gets put onto you in these dark times or, you know, times of need, what are you looking to do?
We're the beacon. We are the example. The example of success from essentially nothing, especially him. Mm-hmm. But like I say this so many times, and it's anecdotal because it's all I know. It's my life, and it's worked for me. And this has been my story. Is truly was and still am an average kid from Ohio. I just really fucking believed in myself. I really did. Like, that's my number one quality. And even the conversation we were having today is like, bro. I always believe, delusional optimist. And so I guess the goal of Team Maverick is to spread that message and make that the contagious effect and make that the thing that people believe in themselves for. Mm-hmm. With this pandemic specifically, I guess it's literally just to distract people and try to be a light in some way. You know, it's not so much about the Maverick movement so much as just being a silly guy you can turn to because you're stressed out and want something to do and watch.
Yeah, I love that.
I think that's the main feedback we see too. I think people, the main message we get back is, hey, listen, your content distracts us from our lives. Mm-hmm. It makes us stop thinking about, you know, the fact that my dad's hitting my mom, or the fact that, you know, my grades mm-hmm. are dropping in school because I have ADHD, or the fact that I can't go out because I have anxiety, or the fact I can't go to the restaurant because coronavirus is happening. Mm-hmm. We watch your content because it makes us feel like, you know, a little bit more lighthearted and adds just a little bit more joy to our lives. And honestly, the more, you know, positivity and smiling that we can induce, you know, through our antics, that's a victory
for
me.
Facts.
That's huge.
Speaking of smiling.
I like smiling.
I got I had Invisalign, brought my teeth down. You guys probably noticed my smile changed. And then these two teeth went back up. So I just got Invisalign again. I take them out for podcasts, but yeah, the note here is I highly urge people to fix your teeth if you have any qualms with them. Dude, I'm a confident person. When my teeth dropped, my confidence doubled because I was smiling at people more. It is insane, dude, the power of a smile. So, yeah, if you have any qualms or any insecurities about your teeth, like, yo, go to the dentist, fix that shit. It's crazy what a good smile can do.
And it's becoming more and more affordable. When I got my braces done, it almost, like, bankrupted my fucking family. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for that, because honestly, he's so right. An infectious smile, a good smile. Yeah. And by the way, I almost lost mine. As you know, the good back half of my left side of my teeth are completely gone. I'm going to try to do something about it soon. But at least, luckily, the front was salvageable. And, you know, I'm always smiling, as you guys know. And it's a big part of my...
Yeah, solid investment anyways, teeth.
So at what...
Get you some teeth.
At what point... So I'm all for this. It's beautiful that people can fix their teeth. What point do you think you embrace your own uniqueness versus, like, improve your own stuff? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I that's a great question.
That's a great, very good question.
I think it's so personal. mm-hmm. right? I was kind of going back to what I said earlier. I was dissatisfied with myself, specifically my smile.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, like I, you know, I could definitely have gone my whole life with that, like, little bit of dissatisfaction in the back of my brain, but I have the resources to be able to take the action to mm-hmm. fix my teeth. So I did.
Yeah.
And now I am happier because of it. So
yeah,
for sure. Like if you can't do anything about it, sure, embrace it. But mm-hmm. if you can, why not?
Yeah. I had a reason I asked is because for some reason this morning I was thinking about when I was a little kid. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but I have a birthmark on my face.
Yeah, it's hidden
behind this lush beard.
It's a great beard
at the current moment. Thank you. But when I was in kindergarten, when I was on my way to school, I got bullied on the bus. So people would be like, "Oh, why do you have chocolate on your face or coffee on your face?" Or like,
assholes.
"You look like somebody wiped their ass."
Was
on
it
your
darker
face.
Back then?
It was way darker.
Oh,
it was way darker. So it was more noticeable. And that shit fucked with me
for
dude.
Sure.
To the point where I went to go get it laser removed with my parents. Like I was like. I was put into special reading because I was like so shy and like so quiet.
Whoa.
And I would like go hang out alone on the playground. And I like totally forgot this about my story because I kind of like buried it.
Yeah.
For some reason, it just came to the surface recently. And I realized how much that damaged my self-confidence.
For
as a
sure.
Kid.
For sure.
Like going, yet my birthmark is so, I love it now. I don't even think about it. But it was almost to the point where something that was so unique and beautiful in me, I almost wanted to get it removed.
Crazy.
And then when I went to go get it removed, I was like, no, like, I'm going to keep it.
Crazy. Childhood trauma can stem quite literally everything you do for the rest of your life.
Yo, if you're a 6-year-old watching this and you're a bully, fuck you, okay?
Where do you think those bullies are now, out of curiosity?
What do you think, bro?
I was thinking that earlier. I think there's some serious karma to that. For sure.
I agree so much.
Yeah.
So much. I over the past 10 years have become such a believer that whatever you put out, mm-hmm. whether it's in little comments online, whether it's how you direct yourself towards people in the streets, whether it's, you know, holding the door or not holding the door, uh-huh. all of that stuff you put out comes back to you.
It takes me back to the Adam Sandler.
Wait, Logan hates it.
Go ahead.
I don't hate it. It's not true in all cases.
Ooh.
I have a kid from my high school this kid was a fucking bully, the bully, like linebacker on the football team, everything, huge, massive, like went through puberty at age 10, whatever. He even fucked with me a little bit because I told you that I was small as a sophomore in high school, and I would go up against him on the football field and I'd scurry around him because I was athletic. And one time he caught me and he threw me down and like flipped me onto my head and I nearly broke my neck. And in the locker room, always dealing with him until I was the same size as him, was horrifying. And then even after he graduated high school, causing problems in college on his football team, got kicked off, whatever. This dude's a fucking cop now, dude. Like, had so many run-ins with the law as a teenager and young adult, and now he is an officer of the fucking law.
What are you trying to
say? I think you're affirming what we're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Where's the karma? The karma is now the bully is the one protecting us? Yeah, man. I don't want him protecting
us. Hold on. So two things. He's still bullying people. And in the case of high school QB becoming cop is such a prevalent story.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the stick, they got the gun, they got the badge, and they can still bully you
in
the streets.
So where's the karma?
Let me tell you something really quick. Karma is a freezing cold bitch, and she takes her time.
Yes.
She takes her fucking time, bro. When she wants to strike, she will strike. I had an issue in my own family, a very serious issue with a member of my family who is one of the most rotten people in this world. I won't get into it. I won't expose him, but did some things to my mother and to my grandfather and to our family that were just utterly disgusting. And I would always get very angry and I would ask my mom, "Mom, why are you not striking this motherfucker down, like, for what he's done?" And she always told me that he will be taken care of in due time.
Mm.
That what he has put out will come back. And I said, "But mom, it's been 10 years and he's got the new house. He just bought another house in this place and this and that." And she's like, "Don't worry about it. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. It's coming.
The wise Robin."
Yeah, pineapple. Upside down pineapple.
Sorry about the OnlyFans, mom.
Fuck.
All
right, you guys want to wrap it up?
I mean,
yeah. I mean, oh yeah.
The show?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
When are you going back to Hawaii?
I don't know yet. Probably not till like June.
Oh, sick. You're going to be here for a minute?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love you,
you daily vlogging now, too?
I'm daily vlogging.
Daily. Yeah, that's right.
Check
yeah.
out Spencer's channel. I like yeah. his grind. Keep yeah. it up, bro, and just be careful.
His one from yesterday has like 100K on it.
Yeah.
What'd you title it?
Was that the one with
Dwarf
Evan?
Mama? Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, vegan
food.
He
somehow threw
cars.
Me looking angry as fuck in the background.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. All right, guys. Subscribe to Spencer's channel. Subscribe to this channel. We freaking love you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Lana Rhodes is our next guest, who is also Mike's girlfriend. We'll see you next time. Take it easy.
Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.